It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Three Rivers Arts Festival is underway. This year, the annual celebration made up of concerts, art exhibits, and food has a decidedly green component. Joining us to provide an overview of this year's festival is Three Rivers Arts Festival Director Veronica Corpus. Veronica Corpus, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
This is the 55th year of the Three Rivers Arts Festival, but it is just the sixth under the umbrella of the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust. So how has the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust shaped the festival?
Well, you know, the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust, when it first took on the Dollar Bank Three Rivers Arts Festival, had the goal of kind of stabilizing it, kind of streamlining our functions. And really, the first year, we only had 6 months to plan it. And I'd say since then, we've really kind of learned a lot about the operations of the festival. We've listened a lot to the patrons and have try to take all of that information and place the festival on a new track by bringing in some more public art, diversifying the music offerings, the performance offerings, and really now we're set to kind of explore new territory with the festival as we kind of look at it as part of the Cultural Trust's larger community engagement and festival programming.
When you say stabilizing the festival, what were or are you referring to specifically?
Well, at the time when the Carnegie Museums had approached the Cultural Trust, there were some kind of fluctuations in the festival itself, and we decided that one of the first major changes was to take it from 17 days to 10 days. And mostly the stabilization is in terms of the financial stability of the festival and ensuring that it is still here and still free and still open to the public.
So taking it from 17 to 10 makes it more viable financially, or are there other ways in which it makes it more stable?
Well, you know, one way that in terms of the feedback that we received from the public and as well as the artists who are in the artist market, a lot of that feedback, really, we listened to it, and the sense of contracting down the festival to 10 days actually has helped make it more special in the sense that you don't have to kind of put it off and procrastinate for another week. It's only 10 days, two weekends. So we've really kind of been able to cap it and have great bookends with the opening weekend, a closing weekend, and a full weekday of programming in between. And since the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust also now presents the Pittsburgh International Jazz Live Festival the following weekend, so really June now is filled with plenty of free music and art for the entire Pittsburgh region.
And what are some of the highlights of this year's event?
Well, this year, tonight, I'm really, really thrilled to have the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra return. They're going to be giving a very special performance of Letter from Home by Aaron Copland in celebration of the Fort Pitt Blockhouse's 250th anniversary. So that's a very special concert. They'll be also performing with Pittsburgh Opera resident artist Jasmine Muhammad. She's a soprano who will be singing selections from Romeo and Juliet, La Boheme, as well as The Marriage of Figaro, and then the whole concert will cap off with some John Williams favorites from Star Wars and Raiders of the Lost Ark.
We're talking with Three Rivers Arts Festival Director Veronica Corpus, and this year's festival is emphasizing a decidedly environmental component. What can you tell us about that, Veronica?
You know, the Arts Festival has been a green festival. It's one of the few green arts festivals of its kind in the country. And when we say it's a green festival, it means that our operations, everything from how we sort our waste and try to divert as much waste out of landfills by recycling and composting materials. So we've worked with our friends at Pennsylvania Resources Council with help from the Colcom Foundation to really create a full, robust, reduce, reuse, and recycle program and to create a zero-waste event at the Arts Festival. And so given that kind of behind-the-scenes operations, we've tried to bring that more to the forefront through the art. So we've worked with artists such as Rose Clancy. She's done some really great garden programs over at the Mattress Factory, and she has an interactive sculpture-making project in our creativity zone called Diversion. And so her sculpture kind of contemplates soil health, and then you can also build a compostable sculpture with Rose and then plant that in your gardens at home, or you can string them along this kind of growing crowdsourced sculpture constructed out of bamboo that she has been working on all this weekend and will be working on it through the week.
You say it's not easy being green. Why is that?
Well, you know, it's it takes a lot of, I think, mindfulness and just practice. It's a daily practice. And what we hope to share with our festival visitors is that when you come to the festival and you purchase, you know, a funnel cake or pizza or something, you know, at our food stands, that you'll see our serviceware, everything from the cups, straws, plates, even your forks, are actually compostable. So then, rather than throwing them all into, you know, the garbage, you can place those into a particular waste stream that will then be turned into compost that will then help with, you know, gardens and going back into a natural food web. So that practice just at the festival is just one opportunity, but then that can be carried on throughout your daily life, and whether you're in the office or at home, you know, looking at every single piece of material that you handle, and then you can either compost or place in the garbage or then recycle. There are many options. It's just a daily practice that I think, just like exercise and good eating, requires a certain amount of mindfulness that can be tough.
Well, and I was going to ask you if this environmental component will become part of future festivals, but from listening to you talk about this, it sounds like as far as the green initiative, there's no going back.
No, the Cultural Trust is very committed to the greening philosophy of the festival, and we've expanded that to our other festivals where, you know, the following weekend at the Pittsburgh International Jazz Live Festival, we will also have our sorting waste streams there. But it's just something that we think is right, and we hope that other events in Point State Park and throughout the city, you know, the Pittsburgh Marathon has really done a great job as well doing this, and there are just other events who have really found the value in making our city green, and it's just something that we really enjoy doing, and it's good work that the Pennsylvania Resources Council and Colcom Foundation have been very supportive of.
We're talking with Veronica Corpus, director of the Three Rivers Arts Festival here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. And Veronica, there reportedly have been some questions about the diversity of the lineup of performers for this year's Three Rivers Arts Festival. As far as you're concerned, is that a valid complaint?
You know, I think I'll say this, in terms of the diversity of our musical lineup and our goals of kind of providing a wide range of offerings, we always are seeking to provide a wide kind of offering. And this year, I have really, really, and even last year, this is my second year working on the Arts Festival, have had that at the heart of my programming vision and goals. And when we look to book performers and seek different artists, it's always up to the forefront. And this year, you know, with a great project like Complaints and At, where the material itself is crowdsourced from the city, you know, these are voices of everyday Pittsburghers, relocators, boomerangers, expats. That diversity of voice is at the heart of the song itself, which artist Christiana D, in partnership with Reverend Derek Tynes, Fat Man D, Andrew Laswell, and David Lean, have created the song that they're singing daily at the Arts Festival in multiple locations throughout the week. And so we really invite folks to see and learn and listen and sing along. So, you know, last night we were standing in the tea station because it was pouring rain at 6 o'clock and they were supposed to be performing on the stage. And instead, we all huddled underneath the beautiful tea station at Stanwyck Street, and the entire place was singing and clapping. And that's just one instance where, you know, song can unify people in a way and unify many, many different people and discuss issues, everything from the August Wilson Center to affordable housing in one place and do it through art.
Yeah, the weather component in all of this requires you to be pretty nimble, doesn't it?
It does. It was an, you know, improvisational exercise right on the spot, because I was just coming out of the tea station. I had just seen a dance performance at the Trust Education Center, and I was coming up, and I saw as soon as I got to the street level that it was pouring rain because I was making my way to the stage, and I quickly looked for the choir, and they were smarter than I was. They were already huddled in the Stanwyck tea station, and, you know, right on time, they started singing, and it was really, really quite a fun experience. I think tonight they're going to be at the county portico, and tomorrow they'll be at Katz Plaza, another outdoor stage where Sal Samba will be performing as part of our Jazz Live series.
A dance component returned to the festival last year. Has it been expanded upon for this year's event?
So this year, last year we had tested kind of dance in the outdoors. So we had companies like Not Dance, Continuum, Stacy Pearl Dance Project, dancing in very kind of unusual places, whether it was in the middle of the Artist Market or in Katz Plaza or Point State Park. And so this year, in partnership with the Trust Education Department, we sought to activate the education center. So on the fourth floor, we have our juried visual art exhibition. The third floor is a beautiful photography exhibit by Carlin Tapp that comments on the coal mining and shipping industry. And then on the base level, we have our Pierce studio, where this weekend you'll be able to see free performances of Aula Flamenca and Queer Reed Dance Company.
Do you track the economic impact that the festival has on the city? And if so, what is it?
It's been a moving target for us. You know, with the free festival nature, you know, it's difficult to obtain information about our patrons because it is such a fluid, moving event. We have a team of surveyors who are always kind of seeking to stop patrons and try to get a quick slice of demographic information about who is coming and what are they interested in. And then we also follow up with an electronic survey through our email, and in partnership with the Visit Pittsburgh, we've been trying to compile that information. So we're slowly kind of, that's part of our, you know, learning process with these free events, is how to compile that data, learn across the board, and synthesize all of that information into a more accurate economic impact figure. But it's in the vicinity, depending on which large-scale outdoor event, whether it's Highmark First Night Pittsburgh or the EQT Children's Festival to the Dollar Bank Three Rivers Arts Festival, what the varying impact might be. But it could be anywhere from $20 million upwards of $100 million in economic activity. But even the artists who travel here and they stay here at the hotel, and the kind of economic activity that's taking place in the artist market is something that we're really trying to refine and narrow in on, because it is so fluid and it is kind of an open center of activity.
And as far as the feedback that you get from people attending the festival, how much is it used in the planning of future events?
You know, we really do take into consideration feedback from our patrons, from the artists, from everyone who is kind of touched by this huge undertaking. And so when we compile that information, we really look closely at kind of what kind of impact does having, for instance, a loud band in the middle of the Gateway Center where we have our second stage in the middle of the artist market. And, you know, a lot of feedback from the artists, they are kind of working artists who tour year-round to make their living by presenting their jewelry, their painting, their sculpture. And sometimes if it's too difficult to hear their patrons, that can be that can inhibit them from really making a connection with the visitors there on site. And so, you know, diversifying that music offering to include maybe something like jazz, or I think this week we have a Brazilian chamber orchestra, something that creates more of an environment for dialogue. Or on our Stanwyck stage over the weekend, we had Machete Cusumanto, this salsa band, and it was just so lively, and there were people dancing in the streets. So kind of taking in all of that feedback, you know, whether folks want to dance or they want to hear something that's a little more challenging, like the Eclectic Light Chamber Orchestra, the Laboratory Chamber Orchestra, they performed with Shana Simmons Dance this past weekend. And that was, you know, another kind of entry point of experience.
Veronica Corpus is director of the Three Rivers Arts Festival, joining us by phone. Veronica, thanks so much for being with us, and good luck with the rest of the Arts Festival.
Thank you so much, and I will see you at the Dollar Bank Three Rivers Arts Festival.
Yes, I will be getting down there.
Terrific.
Easy for you to say. Thank you, Veronica.
Thank you.
Coming up, what are the 100 things Pirates fans should know and do before they die? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.